Hey, everybody. The Charlie Kirk Show. Colonel Douglas McGregor joins us. Is Ukraine winning? Is Russia winning? Who bombed the pipeline? Expert analysis from someone who's honest about these matters. As always, you can email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter. That is tpusa.com. You can get involved with charliekirk.com/support. That is charliekirk.com/support. As always, you can email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. I'm afraid we're on the precipice of a potential world war. And no better person to help unpack all the confusion and uncertainty than the great Colonel Douglas McGregor. Colonel, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Charlie.
Thank you for joining us. I'm just going to ask a very simple question. In your expert opinion, who was responsible for the bombing of the pipeline?
Well, the answer to that is that, first of all, I don't know. I'm saying I don't know because I really don't have any concrete information to indict anybody. Now, if you step back from that and you look at the people in the world with the capability to do what was done, to plant hundreds of pounds of TNT next to a very, very strongly built pipeline and blow it up, there really aren't very many people out there that could do it. It was definitely not the Russians. Let's be clear about that. The Russians simply derive 40% of their foreign capital from the pipeline. They're not going to blow it up. The Germans certainly did not, because now the Germans have been robbed of the opportunity to make a decision about their own future. Because the Germans, frankly, are on the precipice of pulling out of this proxy war that we're running in Ukraine. So that leaves who? That leaves the United Kingdom, potentially the French, perhaps the United States. The Poles, of course, are in there as at least willing co-conspirators. A lot of people are pointing at the United States. The Poles have already said we did it. But you've got to be careful because, frankly, the United States government has not admitted to it. In fact, the United States government is making the utterly ridiculous argument that the Russians did it to themselves, which makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge economic stimulus to their country. Some people would say, though, aren't they selling their energy to China and India so they don't need this anymore? I'm not sure if I follow that argument.
Understand that Putin, from the very beginning, has exercised considerable restraint. He's never used more than 20% of his ground force in Ukraine. And from the beginning, Russian forces have been outnumbered by Ukrainian forces just in sheer numbers. He has tried to run this war in a way that it could be ended without permanently damaging relations with the West, because Putin wants to do business with Western Europe. Frankly, I think he'd like to do business with us. So right now, we've made it impossible for that to commence quickly. And again, the key player in everything right now in NATO and Europe in this war is really Germany. Germany is the economic, scientific, industrial giant. And the Germans have now lost the opportunity to make a decision regarding their own destiny. So when Germans start to freeze and Germans run out of food this winter, and this winter is supposed to be a bad one, they don't have much choice. We've taken that away from them. We've said, you have to go along with us whether you like it or not, I think.
So the way that this is progressing, I'm afraid that this is a mass escalation event. I mean, knowing how the American government works, I said yesterday, I don't trust the government. And unfortunately, they're going to have to prove to me they weren't either aware or involved in, you know, damaging this pipeline, considering just as you went through the process of elimination, which is the smartest way to go about doing this. If America was aware or involved in bombing this pipeline, what does that mean? Is that an act of war?
from the vantage point of Moscow, they could interpret this as an act of war. There's no question about it. This is designed not just to hurt Germany and our allies in Western Europe, but it's designed to hurt Russia. And the Russians could regard this as essentially a casus belli. But thus far, Putin has chosen not to do that. Now, what is happening that Americans are not aware of is that there is a tremendous military buildup now in and around southeastern Ukraine, in the western part of Russia, in Belarusia. Thousands, tens of thousands of troops have now been released from their duties elsewhere in Russia by the arrival of reservists to take over their missions. That means most of the regular Russian army can now be employed against Ukraine. I mean, I think that's coming. So I think what Putin will try to do is end this as quickly as possible over the next few months. And we, on the other hand, are going to continue, I guess, to refuse to negotiate because we've made it impossible for the Ukrainians to come to terms with him. Now, the good news is that the Ukrainian chief of staff and the Russian chief of staff allegedly spoke to each other on the phone within the last 24 to 48 hours. And they talked about how to end the conflict. But at the same time, Mr. Zelensky continues to drop hints with the media of just how desperate Ukraine is. He said that he's got scientists and engineers prepared to work to build a dirty bomb, utilizing spent uranium fuel for the purpose of driving the Russians back or containing them or stopping them. All sorts of crazy things are coming out of Kiev. And they're engaged in trying to take this town of Liman, in the south of Ukraine, which they think is a linchpin in the Russian operation. I'm not sure it is, but he's ordered his generals to take it regardless of how many casualties they're sustaining. And the Ukrainians over the last month or so have taken tens of thousands of casualties, killed and wounded. It's a bad situation. It really needs to stop. And what we really need from Washington is leadership to intervene to bring about peace talks.
Well, we don't have that leadership, and anything Zelensky says, I believe, is vetted or supplied by the Central Intelligence Agency first. I mean, they're in perfect harmony, in my own personal opinion. But so you've said before, and this is where I get a little confused, Colonel, that Ukraine is about to lose this war. And I had a debate with a senator recently, and I said, they said, oh, no, my intelligence shows that Ukraine is taking ground, that they're pushing. And this is a United States senator on a very important committee. I'm not going to say who. And then, of course, so he's arguing from a position of authority. So how am I supposed to push back against that, right? I say, well, I don't know about that. He said, no. It's just a matter of time before Russia surrenders.
Well, the first data point, I think, is that since 24 February, Ukraine has been winning the war. All you have to do is go back and listen to CNN, NBC, MSNBC, even Fox, and the usual suspects, retired generals, and hawks, left or right, neocons, have all been coming on since February telling us the Ukrainians are winning, the Ukrainians are winning, the Ukrainians are winning. Well, look at the map. Look at where the Russians are. The Russians have taken 90% of the territory that contains Russian-speaking people. And this was always what they said they were going to do, go in there, eliminate the Ukrainian military, and at the same time, turn around and restore the rights before the law of Russian citizens. Well, now they're there. They're holding referenda. 87 to 95% of the population is coming out to vote. The only thing that is annoying the Russians who are voting to become part of Russia in eastern Ukraine is the periodic shelling by Ukrainian forces to try and disrupt the referenda. So I think the Russians are very definitely in the driver's seat. Second thing is that we don't have any evidence for massive casualties on the Russian side. Those were always claims that were made, but we haven't been able to prove any of it. And right now, most observers think that the Russians have lost somewhere between 15,000 and 20,000 dead, which over the period of time, considering that they were outnumbered from the beginning, is not unreasonable. But the most recent estimates for Ukrainian dead are now exceeding 80,000. Some people think it could be as much as 100,000. And we do know that the hospitals in Ukraine are bursting at the seams. What nobody seems to want to accept is the fact that Putin did not want to wage total war on Ukraine. Putin wanted to go in, make his point, and then have negotiations. We've made that impossible. And so he's had to continue fighting until such time as he controls everything that he thinks is important. And that will probably include Odessa down south that turns Ukraine into a landlocked country. And I suspect they'll go back up to Kharkov once they've finished up in the south. But now we have forces converging on Ukraine from White Russia, from Belarusia in the north, and more Russian forces preparing to move into Ukraine and join those that are fighting at the moment. And the Russian population is delighted because the Russian population has always expressed frustration with the failure to go in with a sledgehammer at the beginning. But that was not done because, again, he did not want to kill large numbers of people or do damage in the country. But no one wants to accept that in the West. We've permanently demonized him and Russia. And so I'm not surprised that the senator said what he did.
Have you noticed that it's becoming more expensive to take care of your overall health? That's why I love my friends over at Centurion Labs and what they're doing. They have combined vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, copper, and quercetin in just one pill to save you money. It's called Centurion Defender, and it defends your immune system against allergies, colds, flu, and the coronavirus. Who knows when the next wave will hit and you want your immune system to be prepared? All you have to do is take one Defender with breakfast and one Defender with dinner and keep living your life. Now is the time to defend your health, save money, and support a company that shares your Christian values and loves this country. Check out Centurion's website, where you have all kinds of health supplements, whether you are struggling to get pregnant, desire a healthy pregnancy, need a cough medicine to get you back to work, wish to have an energy drink that is actually healthy for you, or you want to defend your overall health. Centurion can help. They have dedicated the last 15 years to research to develop safe, effective, and affordable products in America that you can trust. For a limited time, Kirk listeners get 20% off their first order of Defender when you go to CenturionLabs.com/Kirk and use promo code Kirk. That's CenturionLabs.com/Kirk and get promo code Kirk. CenturionLabs.com/Kirk, promo code Kirk. Check it out today. From DefenseNews.com, Congress to vote on $12.3 billion aid package for Ukraine. Another one which would bring the total well over $70 to $80 billion. With us is Colonel Douglas McGregor. Colonel, where is all this money going?
Well, most of it does not leave the United States, Charlie. Most of it is transferred to DOD, which is compensated for the equipment that we pull out of stocks and ship overseas to Ukraine. And that cash in turn then finds its way back into the defense industries. And significant cuts, obviously, go to their representatives on the Hill, people in Congress, in the Senate, and so forth, who are enabling this enormous cash transfer.
I mean, and so yet the uniparty in Washington, D.C. continues to approve it, and the never received a full audit of where all this money goes, only further escalating the conflict. And so I guess the question we asked yesterday is, who stands to benefit from bombing this pipeline? The best answer I have is the military-industrial complex. Isn't that right? The further escalation of this conflict.
Well, I suppose so. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that escalating this conflict to the strategic level with Russia is somehow or another going to benefit the United States or Europe. In fact, I'm concerned about a direct confrontation with the Russians. And the Russians are very different from Americans. Most Americans right now are not paying any attention to what's happening in Eastern Europe. They're paying attention to the hurricane and the damage inflicted on Naples and Tampa and other towns in Florida. As a result, nobody's asking any hard questions, and the people on the Hill are just sort of bloviating and repeating ad nauseum things that aren't true, which they're being told by their handlers, this is what you need to say. It's really depressing. So I think we could end up in a war with Russia. I don't think that's impossible any longer. I used to think it was. Now I no longer think it is. And to this, you've got to add the sort of suicidal path that Poland is on, because the Poles are the one people in Europe right now who seem to be excited about going to war with Russia. And for those in the audience that know anything about Eastern Europe, these three groups of people, Ukrainians, Russians, and Poles, have fought each other repeatedly over many centuries. So this is kind of a tribal war, which raises questions about why we're involved to begin with.
Yeah, I don't think we've received a good answer to that. Putin is saying that this is the end of the unipolar world and the rise of a multipolar world. What does that mean for America?
Well, I think he's been saying this for some time, and he's not alone. You've got the leadership in India. in the Middle East, in Africa, South America, have all been pointing to the fact that whereas 60, 70, 80 years ago, we represented about half the gross national product of the planet, today we've dwindled down to about 24, 25% and falling. In other words, the world has recovered from the Second World War. And nobody seems to understand how devastating that war was. It was devastating for everybody but us. We sustained very little damage. So we were on top for a very long time as a result of the growth in our scientific industrial base. We've shot ourselves in the foot now repeatedly. You know, the sort of reckless borrowing that has now given us this enormous sovereign national debt. It's put the whole world at risk right now. All you have to do is look at the stock markets. And when it comes to oil, coal, and gas, that's 80% of the world's energy. And we seem to be determined to ensure that much of the world doesn't have access to it. So, you know, this is a catastrophe that's looming right now. It's financial, it's economic, it's resource-oriented. And the whole world is saying enough. We've had enough of this. The only people that are enthusiastic, if you will, about this war with Russia, which is senseless and stupid, are the people that are governing much of Western Europe and North America. Once you get past them, there's not much support out there.
About 30 seconds remaining, Colonel. You said that Putin is going to try to make a big move to end this soon. What does that look like?
Well, I think he's going to bring in a few hundred thousand troops. How many will be combat and support? I don't know, but it seems that those forces are showing up. It will take time to position them. But again, the reservists, the principal role they have is replacing regular troops all around the country that can be then concentrated in Ukraine. And I think he wants to come to an agreement with the Ukrainians, and he knows that we won't support it. In the meantime, the Germans, it's not just oil and coal and gas and so forth for them. They shut down their nuclear power plants. They shut down their, you know, their reliance on coal. You can't do that if you're going to be hostile to a country that holds your destiny in their hands. There was no thinking, no forethought, nothing. And by the way, I don't see there's much thinking here either. I don't see any strategy other than harm Russia. And the only thing we've succeeded in doing is harming ourselves and our allies.
That's so true. Colonel Douglas McGregor, thank you so much as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Appreciate it. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. And Congress is ready to go spend another $12 billion while the American border remains wide open. Rents are soaring at unprecedented highs. If you're renting or have a friend or family member that is, now is a great time to make the move to homeownership. Look, you gotta own. Renting, that's great reset stuff. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific Mortgage have helped so many people make that leap from renting to owning, with lots of programs that offer first-time buyers assistance with little to no down payment needed. I encourage you right now to visit my buddies, their website. They're great guys. They're Christians. They're conservatives. They love the Lord. AndrewandTodd.com right now. The thing I love about these guys is it's not about the transaction. They're helping you create a plan to help you reach your goals. Give them a call or go to their website, AndrewandTodd.com. With today's still historically low interest rates, it's easier than you think to become a homeowner. I've relied on them, and producer Andrew has as well. I highly recommend you take action now. And if you know someone paying rent, tell them about Andrew and Todd. Go to AndrewandTodd.com and tell them the Charlie Kirk Show sent you. We're talking for some time here about the midterm elections and how it's starting to trend better, but we got to put in the work. We have to put in the work. You got to do your 10 by 10. You got to find 10 people who find 10 people to go vote. But I always ask people, they say, Charlie, I want to save the Republic. We actually had this at a Turning Point event recently. I said, how many doors are you knocking on? Well, I don't knock on doors. Well, then you're not doing what you need to do. To help us walk through this and also just rank choice voting and all things politics is the mastermind behind Turning Point Action, Tyler Boyer, who actually joins us remotely, first time in a while. Tyler, welcome back to the program.
Hey, what's up, Charlie? Yeah, we're on the road. Just getting ready for another 30 to 40 events this month, knocking doors, tens of thousands of doors every weekend with Turning Point Action. So we're excited about what's coming up here in the key target states.
It's great. It's tpaction.com. And so before we get into some of the specifics of kind of what's going on, Tyler, walk us through the events this weekend, the Super Saturday that we're having here in Arizona.
Yeah, so we actually have an important one coming up right not far from our headquarters in Mesa, Arizona. where we are knocking doors in a key target area in Mesa. What a lot of people don't realize has happened in many of these key target states, the Democrats had known and focused on redistricting in a big way. And so Arizona has been at the epicenter of the redistricting battle. And there's about four districts in Arizona that are purple. Yeah, they're very close to being overtaken by Democrats. And that was intentional for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so essentially what we're doing is making sure we're focusing on those areas first to hold those as Republican and conservative and put those in conservative hands and help save the state. And that's happening not just in Arizona, but in Georgia and Michigan and Wisconsin, Ohio and Florida right now as well.
So Tyler, you know, some people are asking, I just got an email here, freedom@charliekirk.com. What's the vibe from knocking on doors? Because that's a real grassroots poll, right?
Yeah.
And Tyler, you've done a lot of work in developing, you know, helping develop the technology to actually be able to find the voters and profile them and organize the precincts. What's the vibe on the ground like, you know? And also, I know this sounds like a silly question, but walk through the process of what knocking on a door actually is, because some people have never done it before.
Yeah, no, you know what? That's the number one thing. You know, the last 10 years, 15 years, it's we've gotten away. A lot of people have gotten away from the face-to-face mm-hmm. voter contact. And that's been a huge problem. And then obviously that got so much worse during COVID, where basically they scared every old person on the planet into staying at home and not making voter contact, which I think is intentional. They knew, the Democrats know that the less, you know, older folks that are out talking to their neighbors, the less chance that Republicans have to win in a lot of these key areas. And so we're punching back with younger people and saying, you know, we're not going to just sit around and wait around. We're going to talk face to face. And the big key thing, if there's one, you know, piece that I would say, number one, get out and talk to your neighbors, even if it's just your next door neighbor, your across the street neighbor, someone that you haven't seen or talked to in a long time. But two is look for the voice that you would have with a neighbor or with, like I always say, like with a semi-distant family member, someone that you know, mm-hmm. but you don't talk to all the time, and work on that voice with people of like, hey, like an uncle, right? Or a second cousin or a cousin of like, hey, you know, that type of voice is what really, gets people feeling like they know you and that they're comfortable with you, but also that you're not overstepping your bounds where you're having too loose of conversations about, you know, sensitive topics like politics.
Yeah, that's and I think getting back to the grassroots, back to actually talking to people is going to be one of our keys to winning in November and beyond. So let's talk about some of the races. But first we go there. Tyler, you know, we did a whole show on ranked choice voting. McConnell's putting another $1 million behind Lisa Murkowski. Ranked choice voting is the subterranean risk to our republic that no one wants to talk about. You educated me on it, and then we've broadcasted it, and people are still getting educated on it. And it's spreading very quickly. In fact, some races are not going to go our way probably because of the process. Talk more about ranked choice voting and talk about why we need a unified, just kind of fire alarm campaign to make sure this doesn't spread further.
Look, I mean, the Democrats have figured out that they can't win with how elections have run for the last 250 years in America. So what they're doing is they're trying to change everything. They're trying to pack courts. They're trying to implement ranked choice voting and top two primaries. They're trying to control the redistricting process. I mean, this is an all out, you know, attack on our Constitution. Mm-hmm. And Republicans have to be really prepared. And it's guys like Mitch McConnell who are at the epicenter of just handing the country the keys over to the Democrats. And I say this, I don't say this lightly, because we look at Arizona where Mitch McConnell has decided to make almost no investment. He's made almost no investment of the PAC money as leader in Florida because he's scared of Rick Scott. And he's spending a bunch of money on Lisa Murkowski, where they've implemented ranked choice voting essentially just to keep Lisa Murkowski in office. And as we saw, help get Democrats elected in a solid red state. And I'm going to tell you this right now is that every Republican that can hear my voice, that can hear your voice every single day, should be coming out vehemently against ranked choice voting, which essentially hands off the entire electoral system
yes.
to a single uniparty centrist faction, which is run by Democrats.
Yeah. And the ranked choice voting can be very confusing to people, but essentially is whoever is second place or the fake Republican always wins. Is that a good way to summarize it?
Yeah, the basic way to summarize is this: is whoever is in second or third place in an area may have an advantage, because what it does is very similar to nonpartisan elections, which this happens in local elections a lot. Is what the Democrats will do is purposely not run a candidate in a Republican area, and then all support a moderate candidate when it's a nonpartisan election. So this basically replicates the same thing, where it allows the Democrats to essentially support the worst Republican, which is not inviting more ideas into our society. In fact, it creates fewer ideas. It creates a single party rather than multiple parties.
It creates a uniparty of people that they want all the same. They agree on everything, on trade, immigration, globalism, all this. So, Tyler, we did a whole segment on Mike Lee, on how McMuffin McMullen is running as this fake conservative independent. Mm-hmm. You know the Utah landscape very well. You know, we're 100% behind Mike Lee at Turning Point Action. Walk us through this Utah situation, because a recent poll has come out that shows that McMuffin McMullen is down only 2 points to the great Mike Lee. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing, right? So the same process they're trying to pull in Utah, and they're not at Alaska level yet, because they just have implemented ranked choice voting in Utah for primaries. Mm-hmm. But this is what they want to do in Utah too, because what they want to do is they want to sneakily run people who are independents and then try to subvert the Democrat Party or get Democrats on board to support that independent in red states so that they can knock off more conservative members of Congress in your local areas. And this is happening actually in Arizona as well. Not very many people know this, but they're running a McMullen-style candidate against Andy Biggs,
really?
The former Freedom Caucus chair.
That's going to be harder, though, right? Because it's a local race. Am I right?
Yeah, the guy's a total goofball. He's running in a district that he doesn't even live in.
Good.
We're going to be coming out hard against that guy too in the coming weeks here. But yeah, I mean, we're seeing this happen. This is the reason why I put out a tweet and I said we're in really big trouble in Utah and Idaho. And people were kind of laughing at me, like, "Oh my god, Utah's never going to go blue, and Idaho's never going to go blue.
It's not going blue. It's just running a fake, right?
It's running. Well, this is how they turn states blue. This is exactly how
it's a process.
In a lot of ways, that Colorado went down the tubes is that you take over a big city and you run, subversive, independent, and moderate candidates, and also the Democrats have control of your state.
Yeah, and so what I mean, this is Willard Mitt Romney is one of the people launching behind this, and it's also Utah is this very tricky situation because they run on kind of like fake values, but they appeal to like this fake decency, like, oh, McMullen will like rise above it, and it's so synthetic and just it's garbage. And I mean, some of the emails we got from people, freedom@charliekirk.com, and Tyler, you serve on the RNC. And you do a great job. You're one of the conservatives there. They say, why is the RNC not doing something about this in Utah?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little bit horrified that there wasn't a bigger push to support Mike Lee when the RNC had their meeting in Utah that I was at.
Unbelievable.
Where we actually censured Liz Cheney at that meeting, which helped send her down the tubes while we were there. And I was happy to join in on that. But like, look, I mean, you're right. It's not very different in Utah from the Midwest, where you have this Midwestern nice and you have this, Mormon LDS nice, where it's like the Democrats and these secret backroom deal makers will always take advantage of that and lie to you. And that's essentially what's happened with this whole Mitt Romney, Jeff Flake, this band of goons who are basically wanting to control and keep power, and they're willing to lie to their entire community and implore decency when the reality is that they're the least decent people.
No, they're so sneaky. They're awful people, and they're like, well, we're the nice ones. Like, you're a snake.
Yeah, Mike Lee's the nicest guy you'll ever meet. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I said that on the program. You're right.
It's the craziest thing, because like if you were to stack Mitt Romney versus Mike Lee, Mike Lee would win the nice competition every time, right? It would be 10 out of 10 Mike Lee. So, this is the fight that the conservatives have to make, though. And we have the battles that we have to fight is that we have to say no to ranked choice voting. We have to say no to top two. We have to make sure that we have control of the party and conservatives have a strong voice and that they're running their parties in each of these states in order to make sure that we have the most conservative candidates win and run.
So Super Saturday this weekend, come out, go knock on doors, tpaction.com. Is that right? It's just right on there?
Yeah. So all six states that, like I said, are the key target states, Florida, Ohio, which we have to win in 2024, Michigan and Wisconsin, which we have to win in the Midwest, Arizona and Georgia, which are these like purpley areas now. We have events happening every Saturday, basically through the month of October. We need you to come out. We need people to knock just 10 doors, knock 25 doors with us. It's going to change the country and save the country.
That's right. tpaction.com. Tyler, stay right there. Everybody, email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Open up your podcast app, type in Charlie Kirk Show, and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. I love hearing from all of you when you guys email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. We are 40 days out from Election Day. Ballots have already been sent out in a couple states. In the next couple week and a half, ballots are going to be widespread sent out. In about 2 weeks, ballots will be sent out in Arizona. So we are now in voting, now that we've expanded this ridiculous thing of election month. So we are on the case here on the Charlie Kirk Show. The best candidates, the important messages. There's a lot of different races we're looking at here that are very important. Adam Laxalt is doing very well in Nevada. We're keeping our eye closely on that. Ron Johnson up in Wisconsin. Georgia is a tight, tight race. The Snake Warnock is barely up a little bit. It depends on what poll that you're tracking. But these polls, you can't trust them. You got to add five, add six to them. I think you're going to see a very big, substantial and legitimate late break. And we're seeing this coupled with some very troubling economic news. You kind of look at some of the story beneath the story. CarMax, which is I think it's mostly used cars. I've used CarMax once, and I really liked using them. I don't know if it's new cars or not. Yeah, it's mostly used cars. That's right. They're down 23% today in trading. What does that mean? That means CarMax, that did $18 billion in revenue last year, is collapsing off a cliff. Collapsing. What's the significance? That retail purchasing has gone down and that regular everyday Americans are cutting back. I think this is a very, very, it's bad economically. I hate it. I hate seeing people suffer. It's very bad for Democrats as well. We've predicted this on our program for some time, and it's very sad. I think there's going to be a major labor market collapse in the next 6 months. We're seeing it on all retail spending, on inflation. This CarMax news is a canary in the coal mine. I'm telling you. You see companies like this go down 23% in the open in the market because of their miss on earnings. What comes after a miss on earnings? Layoffs. Tyler, what races are you looking at? What are the races that you don't think are getting enough national attention?
Well, I mean, a lot of these congressional races are just being totally overlooked right now. You know, one of the most important races, I think, that's going to be a real bellwether type race is J.R. Majewski that mm-hmm. is in Ohio. And so we have Toledo that we're looking at, where J.R. actually just, you know, has been kind of punked a little bit by, again, the NRCC and the national.
Yeah, they're
Republican
leaving them out to dry. I don't understand this. This is crazy.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. And here's the reason why it makes no sense, Charlie, is that we have these six Turning Point Action and Turning Point PAC are operating in these six key target states. It's very simple. This isn't brainiac work. But Ohio and Florida, we must win in 2024. You can't win the White House without those two states. And so you would think that that would be the base on the foundation for where we would want to invest the most amount of money in order to ensure that 2024 was going to be rock solid. We want Democrats to have to fight and take back these seats in 2024. And so if they're spending money in those states because we've won a ton of ground in 2022, that helps us. And so J.R. Majewski and our friend Madison Gilbert, Jesse Yoda Gilbert, and also in Akron, that's a big deal. If we win both those seats, we're going to have taken ground away from the Democrats that really should be theirs. And that helps us ahead of 2024.
Yeah, I just, you know, on so many different levels, I don't understand this J.R. Majewski thing. The media is going after him for allegedly misrepresenting his military record, which obviously we don't support, but we're in the midst of an election. You want him or a Democrat? And then you got Danang Dick Blumenthal from Connecticut, who just lied about going to Vietnam and no one ever mentions it. The whole thing is wild. What other races are you looking at?
Yeah, so Florida is super important. Anna Paulina. So to give you an idea, Anna, who worked for us at one point at Turning Point USA on the C3 side, She left and went to run for Congress. She ran against this nasty guy that's not running for governor. We won't even mention his name because he's going to get beat so bad by Governor DeSantis.
He's going to run him over.
But she was ran against him in a blue district. After redistricting, her district is now red thanks to Ron DeSantis signing only good maps. And so she should win. It's about an 8+ advantage for her in a district right now in a year where she should end up winning by double digits. But look, I mean, the Democrat, even in that district, has raised about 10 times more money than she has. And the Democrats are just flooding these races with money, just hoping that throwing money at it will help them. One of the good news is that these consultants are just bleeding them dry, not different than how the establishment operates on the Republican side. And so that's good for us. And we should be able to pick those up here in Arizona. That we have three races that are incredibly important in purple districts, that we're going to be taking at least two of those away from Democrats, it looks like. And then one right where our headquarters is with Kelly Cooper, in an area in Ahwatukee, Chandler, and Mesa that really should be a Republican leaning district. And so we're hoping that Republicans and Hispanic voters turn out big. And that's where our big focus has been, with messages about gas that you brought up. Because I mean, you just saw the numbers today. Gas is breaking $5 a gallon in Arizona in some areas. And this directly impacts the small business community, specifically the Hispanic community in Arizona. And so this is like a no-brainer. We have to talk about it. Republicans have to capitalize, and conservatives have to capitalize, and we're leading that charge in Arizona.
Very important. TPAction.com. I think the trend is our friend. We got to push back against these Republican snakes. But Tyler is a little bearish at times because he's real. He's a very real person. But I think recently he's starting to be optimistic. I think if we don't let these, right? 20 seconds, Tyler. Do you agree? I think we're finally hitting our stride.
I think you're exactly right. Right now we're trending at 5+5. So we're about 5 points ahead on the generic polls with, I think, 5% turnout. So we have a good shot at winning somewhere between 6 to 10 points in most of these races.
That's amazing.
But I think that late breakers are going to break for us.
I think if we
stay on message,
I never want economic suffering to happen, but this economic suffering will help Republicans. I'm just being very honest. What's about to happen in the next 30 days, it's going to be carnage, the likes of which we've never seen. Tyler, thanks so much. See you soon.
Thanks, man.
TPAction.com. That is TPAction.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.